Now, back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest in the studio, Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager at Pruce Pets. And Holly has brought with her, as she usually does, one of her little friends. We have with us Hoax, who is the Peruvian guinea pig. Welcome to the show again, Holly and Hoax.
Thanks, hi.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Holly, what kind of a guinea pig is Hoax?
Hoax is a Peruvian guinea pig. A lot of people don't know that there's actually different types of guinea pig. So they come in the store and they approach us with, oh, we want a guinea pig. And we show them, well, what kind do you want? You know, just like different breeds of dog, different breeds of guinea pig. And it always starts a conversation of, there's more than one? And you're like, oh, yeah, you got a whole lot of choice here.
Right.
And so there's everything from, say, like Texels, which have super, super curly, long fur, which you have to worry about, you know, certain things getting in the fur and stuff. So it's a little bit more grooming maintenance. Or Hoax here, the Peruvians have this really long, lush coat that kind of drags on the floor around them. So with him, we actually trim it down so it doesn't get, you know, bedding and feces and stuff in it. And then with the other ones, like the English and the ones with the little kind of like, looks like they have a I don't know what you want to call it. You know, when you have like bedhead in the morning and they have all those little colics all over your whole head.
Right,
Abyssinians are just covered in colics.
Right.
So a lot of people like the Abyssinians because they have a lot of character. There's colics all over the place, but their first day is a little bit shorter. So this is one of the longer haired varieties that we have.
And people can see Hoax on an ongoing regular basis because...
Yeah, when you come in the store, right in the front, as you walk in the front doors and you kind of look over to your left, we have a huge, very colorful bus. And cut out over the where the engine compartment would normally be is a very long it's a very long cage that we tailored to fit inside the bus where the engine used to be, and it's got our breeding colony of Peruvians. So we like to breed these actually in the store. So we have three females currently, and then Hoax is our stud, and so he's in there certain months of the year. And then we have babies on a regular basis, and when the babies are in there, he's not, and then he comes back in. But he's usually on display somewhere in the store almost all the time, but sometimes he's in there, and sometimes he's in his own little bachelor pad. So
can you describe for our listeners how big is Hoax? How much does he weigh? I mean,
he's probably like what, good 10 inches to almost a foot. He's kind of long here.
Yeah.
Guinea pigs get a lot bigger, I think, than people sometimes think, because they come in and they want this little tiny cage that's maybe like two and a half feet long, and they see a guinea pig baby, because we sell almost all of them as babies, and they're only, you know, 4 to 6 inches. And you're like, no, they're going to get like triple that size. You can't put them in the, you know, cage that small. So,
and how long does it take for them to grow to maximum size till they reach adult stage?
I would say by 6 months, they pretty much look exactly like an adult. It's hard to tell them apart.
Okay.
Even before then, they're pretty big. They grow pretty quick.
Well, they can breed at like 2 or 3 months, so you have to be careful when you're actually breeding guinea pigs. You want to separate that female at a pretty young age, or you've got a continual problem if it's around litter mates that are males.
Well, I'm just sitting here in amazement because, yeah, I swear, he looks like a white-haired gentleman lost his toupee.
There's a lot of fur there. There definitely is.
Yeah, when Donald Trump looks a little older, yeah, a little more grayed, this will be him.
But they don't have to be white, so I guess I should touch on that a little bit. They come in tons of colors. He just happens to be a white guinea pig.
Okay.
And he's got this little cute little two-face here, so he's completely black on one side of his face and completely white on the other. But he throws all different types of colors when we breed him. So browns and tans and reds and, you know, white, gray, silver. So.
And what kind of activities do guinea pigs do? I mean, how do they keep themselves occupied and exercised? What do they like to do?
They like to eat.
They are definitely that. Every guinea pig knows where the refrigerator is.
So that's
at
where
least
the pig
by noise.
So that's where the pig portion of the day.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah, you can adapt it to that. Yeah.
The center of their universe. So if you want to train them to kind of like crawl stairs or go around the house or, you know, do somersaults practically, they'll do it as long as you got food to reward them.
Okay.
Yeah, they're definitely very food oriented. They are. The nice thing about them is that they don't require very large amounts of attention, which is probably why they're one of the best small animals as pets. So they kind of take care of themselves for the most part, as far as they don't need to be entertained or highly exercised. They can't climb vertical surfaces or even like really steep ramps, so they don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about them getting into a lot of stuff. They can't physically.
Yeah. Are they like cats in that they kind of self-groom themselves? Or
You don't really have to bathe them all the time. They're not stinky. They don't have really stinky oils that get on your hands. We rarely would ever bathe them unless they get into something, basically, is the main issue. We do groom them in the way of, with the long-haired ones especially, they all get brushed. And no matter how long the fur is, everybody needs their nails trimmed. The nails can actually kind of grow under them and into the pads, or they start to grow out to the sides, and then they walk funny. It can cause malformations in the foot. It's really uncomfortable for them. So the one grooming feature that they all really need is the nails. They do have, just like all rodents, the forever-growing teeth, which is really good because they eat all the time, so they're constantly wearing them down. Mm-hmm. But if they happen to not wear them down properly, where they rub against each other the right way and they become disoriented from each other, you have to worry about them growing in, you know, the bottom ones into the top jaw or the top ones in the bottom jaw, things like that, simply can be fixed by a vet just trimming them. It's just like trimming your nails. They don't have feeling in it or anything when they cut, as long as you cut properly. So the vets can fix that. That's not a deal breaker for these guys, but it is something to pay attention to.
Sure. And I think out of the thousands of pigs that I had, I probably had a dozen that needed that kind of, you know, trim back. But it is worth noting, and the nails are important. We want them on like a really soft bedding, and Holly can talk a little bit about that, because they have like small little feet. They're not like rabbits that can kind of just step on wire and have not any issues. They're just kind of small little tender feet that so we have like a very soft Care Fresh bedding, it's called. You can talk a little bit about that.
But, yeah, that's really nice for their feet. There's a lot of different beddings that people use. We use Care Fresh at the store. It's very absorbent. Their feet are very fleshy and soft. The pads of them aren't really hard and calloused, so you have to worry about them spending time standing in their own mess, you know. So you want to make sure that whatever bedding you're using is really absorbent and kind of removing that from the situation so they don't get sores on the bottom of their feet, as well as things like wire bottom cages and stuff like that are harsh on their little pads of their feet, and they can get their nails caught in them if it's a real small wire, or if the holes are too big, their whole leg can go through it, because I mean their feet are real tiny. They're like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Half an inch?
Yeah. Like a little half inch cube. Anything bigger than that, their whole foot is going to fall through and get stuck. So.
And one thing that I think it's important to mention is how fantastic the first pet opportunity that a child has that a guinea pig makes. What I mean to say is, when we're in the store and there's a child that's maybe 8 years old that's never really handled anything or really been able to interact, it's like one of the safest pet interactions. I mean, they run around the cage and they don't know who we are, so they're like trying to get away from us. But once you handle that guinea pig and you set him on your lap, the child can just pet him.
Right.
You know, and you can't do that with a hamster. You can't do that with a gerbil, you know, but a guinea pig is like the perfect, like, first connection that a child makes with something other than maybe a dog or a cat. And it's really marvelous.
Right. Well, I'm in amazement at how well behaved Hoax is, because he has been just sitting here, very well behaved. But we're speaking this morning with Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager at Pruce Pets, along with Rick Pruce. And Holly, you mentioned before the eating that guinea pigs do. What kind of food do they eat? Is there like a guinea pig chow that exists out there, or do they eat other types of food? I mean, help the listeners understand that.
Yep, there's a pelleted guinea pig food out there. They aren't really big protein consumers. So when you think of chow, a lot of times you think of like puppy chow, cat chow. You know, they're looking at like 35 to 42% protein and all those. That's not acceptable for a guinea pig. You want to do something that's more hay-based. So an alfalfa pellet or a Timothy hay pellet, something like that. We feed one pellet when they're young or when they're breeding, because it's a little bit higher fat, more energy for them. And then since they aren't really, really active, and they do like to do a lot of eating, as they get older, we switch them on to a pellet that's slightly less, you know, I guess, I don't want to call it fatty because it's not really fatty, but it provides a little bit less energy for them to try and keep an idea of not having them be too chubby. And then liberal amounts of hay. They can have as much hay as they want throughout the day. We usually give them a good big handful in the morning, and sometimes they're ready for another handful in the evening by the time we close up the shop. And then the food we try and kind of limit. You know, we don't measure out exactly a tablespoon per pig or anything like that, but we try not to go overboard with it. We like to use what we call a tough love policy at the store, because we have a mixed food that we make that's our own food, actually. And it's a mix of quite a few different things with really good ingredients in it. And they kind of pick out what they like. So it's like having a child, and you put in front of them a plate with like peas and mashed potatoes and all sorts of stuff. And then you put like a cupcake in the corner. They're going to eat the cupcake. And then, you know, if you just keep refilling the cupcake spot, that's all they're going to ever eat is the cupcake. So right. We make them eat pretty much the whole bowl down to nothing, and then we refill it, so they get everything.
Fantastic. Holly, we're going to take a break for a minute, but then we're going to come back and continue the conversation with Holly Hanzarek and Hoax the guinea pig right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.